Showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
It is The Drive with Tane Piper, Derek Piper, Lante, Trevor Valise. There is some crazy stuff going down in the studio in Philo. Lon is hearing things. He is also taking upon the producer role, transferring his laissez-faire ways to Trevor about timing and breaks and everything. And Lon wants to be segmented for the first time since I've ever done the show with him.
Yes!
In what's about to be, you know, 3 years in August will be the Tane Piper third-year anniversary.
How cool is that, number one? I think that's awesome. But it is funny. It's almost like, I don't remember the show back in the day, but when the mom and the daughter, like Jamie Lee Curtis, and the daughter, like, collided, and then they turned into each other or
Freaky
the other
Friday.
One. Yeah, that's it. Trevor and I have done that somehow to where I'm all about this, and Trevor's like, ah, who cares? Just get out when you want to get out, and we'll figure it out. You know, that's usually me. Just, but no, it is kind of funny on that. So it's an awesome, I don't know, maybe I'm like old and becoming responsible for the first time in my life. Would that even be possible? Well, I feel like a five-year-old here. We switched seats, so you're now the producer.
And one of them is just really low sitting. That's why when I'm sitting in that chair, we can never see each other.
That's right.
No, we can't. And I've never sat this low in my life to do anything but like second grade homework. I mean, that was it. Like when I was in second grade, I sat this low.
So I'm Lon now, I guess.
Yep.
So let's talk about Serena Williams.
Yeah, baby.
And construction workers.
Why does that care?
And
why does that matter? That's what I got from Trevor on the Serena Williams.
Well, I mean, why I got it the matter? First time, but you were giving me like blow by blow,
I know.
Play look, by play
look,
updates.
It's on ESPN Sports Center right now.
I see it.
I'm telling you.
I see it.
I understand the magnitude of what happened today, and one day you'll look back and say, I remember watching Serena Williams' final match at Wimbledon. No, I don't know if it's her final match. She'll probably come back next year and win it. But she did lose. Serena Williams lost in the first round of Wimbledon. I'm assuming that's never happened before in the life of it. Pipes, Illinois, basketball, visitor on campus today and tomorrow. Is that right?
Yes, official visits of 48 hours beginning today, and we'll be here through tomorrow, that being Imani Hansberry, 6'8", 225-pound forward out of Washington, D.C. area. I like him a lot. He was one of my favorite players that I saw in Louisville in the EYBL session, a guy that is versatile offensively. He's kind of that junkyard dog in terms of his physicality, his toughness, his strength. He's a guy that as you project, now there's going to be potentially if you bring back Coleman Hawkins for another season, Dane Danger establishes himself, Zachary Perrin maybe ready more so in year two after getting a chance to work with Fletch this season, the French big man who committed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some traffic there in the front court, but Hansberry having the ability to play both the four spot and a small ball five, just that ability to defend, be physical, rebound, that will, as we've talked about a lot, those are keys to Brad Underwood's heart for a freshman, for a young player. And I think that the way that he plays the game with his grit and tenacity is similar to Ty Rogers. I think that he's got a lot of leadership capability as well. He's one of those guys that's always talking on defense, kind of as that anchor in the back end, pointing out screens and switches and everything. And to that point, I think he is, and we discussed it some in the first hour, it's part of the movement post-Kofi of what Illinois basketball is going to look like. And in the front court, it's going to be some pieces that are more mobile, some guys that can switch on the perimeter a little bit, some guys who can take the ball off the dribble. And And a thing that he does offensively that I really love is when he rebounds the ball, at least he's done this in AAU, he's done it in high school, I think he can do it here in Champaign. When he rebounds the ball at 6'8", he's getting it and pushing it up the floor. And he's finding guards because that means that Sky Clark and Jaden Epps don't have to come get the ball. They can then try to streak down the court and try to beat their man. Or, of course, Terrence Shannon Jr., who's really scary in transition. Not to say he'll be here next year when Imani shows up, but that's kind of the point of what he brings in that aspect. So it's just kind of that more versatile big man, but you have that some of those same toughness and grittiness and physicality things that you look for as well.
I don't know that a program would ever find another Kofi to where you'd have two of those in your lifetime as a coach at a program. So that being said, Dane Dange is still a big guy. We talk about how skilled he is and the idea that he's got handles and he's a good passing big man. Certainly he's better handles than Kofi, better passing than Kofi. I assume better shooter than Kofi. Not a knock on Kofi. We understand the All-American there.
Underwood said, he's been quoted on this as saying Dane might be the best ball handler on the team.
What? I have no idea where you're going with that.
Perfect spot right there for that clip. Well,
fiction, is that crazy off-season hype, or are you actually buying that as a possibility?
Brad Underwood was hammered that night on tequila. He was hammered on what's a form of tequila? Patron? He was hammered.
Patron,
he was
Jose
playing
Cuervo.
Yeah, he was playing Ship Captain Crew and was hammered on Patron, and he basically said, "Hey, Dane Danger's got the best handles on the team." What?
Well, never forget that the impetus or the origin of was someone asking him if Kofi would ever take a three.
Oh, that's right.
That's when he said that.
When he said no.
At least he had it reined in for Kofi. Maybe if someone asked him if Dane will take a three, maybe he wouldn't say that.
No. We need verification from Tyler Underwood that his dad hadn't been in the cooler all day when he said that thing. I don't even know if Brad drinks. I assume he has a beer on occasion. But the point of where I'm going here with that is Dane Danger, I mean, because he's still kind of a big man, but let's just go back to Kofi. Is that the last true big man that'll play at Illinois under Brad Underwood? Like that kind of a guy?
I could see it, but Brad could be here for a while.
I think that the
way the game is evolving, we see it on the NBA level, and I think you're going to continue to see it trickle down in terms of college, that there's going to be still a level of physicality and Big Ten teams that play, quote-unquote, the old-school way, and you're going to – we see Zach Edey. I don't think Matt Painter's going to quit recruiting you know, big lumbering big men that are going to dominate the paint, and you're going to see the Hunter Dickinsons of the world. Yep. You're going to see some Trace Jackson Davis, who's not the same as Kofi. But I think the point is you're going to want someone that can defend those guys.
Yeah.
But I don't think if Brad has his way and this new movement works, you're going to have it where we're going to play through the post most possessions, or you're going to have a lane locked big guy in that kind of a sense. And there just aren't that many Kofis either.
No.
Like in terms of that big, that physically dominant. And when you study what Brad was doing in his past at Oklahoma State, Stephen F. Austin, it's not like it was really geared towards a bruising five man.
Exactly.
His spread offense is putting a lot of times the five man at the top of the key and allowing him to make passes and facilitate and that whole kind of deal.
James Brown from St. Rita. And by the way, we're going to have, I'm not as familiar with the coach.
Roshan Russell, the St. Rita head coach, is going to join us tomorrow about 5:10. You're going to want to check that out.
Sweet.
Discuss Illini commit Merez Johnson, James Brown, his teammate, Nojus Indrusaitis. That trio, three top 50 players nationally in the 2024 class. And James and Merez were just at the USA Basketball training camp. James made one of the cuts and then ultimately didn't make the roster, but he was on the final 18. And St. Rita looks primed for a state title run or two here coming up with that group.
Is James Brown then, as the five guy for that unit, is he more Kofi or is he more Dane?
I think he's more Trace Jackson Davis type, maybe Hunter Dickinson.
Okay.
I think that he's someone that he needs to improve in terms of his jump shot. He's not someone out there shooting a bunch of threes.
Fair enough.
His handle's isn't crazy. I mean, you look at Dane, and while we can sit and laugh about the best handler on the team, and I don't, just from afar, and I'm not saying I know Brenner would seem better than he does, Sky Clark looks like the best handler on the team. Like that was maybe his biggest trait for a guy that was once ranked a five-star. Dane can handle the ball quite a bit, and James isn't at that level, but James is someone that is more slender, is really mobile up and down the floor. I think defensively he's someone that can cover a lot more ground. Long arms can block shots, and then I think that he is able to do a little bit more skill-wise than Kofi was outside of the paint. And one thing that you see with James and Merez in AAU, it's kind of that, and we talked about it with Dickinson and Diabate, is you kind of run that inverse high-low where the five-man and James is out on the perimeter and you're throwing it into Merez, who has probably a physical mismatch maybe against some fours that he's trying to post up. And I think that we could see that play out. And I got asked this, and I'm pivoting a little bit.
Okay.
I got asked this in a mailbag. If James Brown, Merez Johnson, and Nojis Andriusaitis, assuming all three remain top 50 guys, all come to Illinois.
Yes.
And maybe they win two state titles here coming up, which I would assume that they would. Would that be – how would that compare to Serge, Frank, and Marcus out of Peoria Manual deciding to come to Illinois?
That is an excellent question. Whoever asked that, that's an excellent question. It was such a big deal back in the day when Peoria Manual won four straight state titles. That was amazing. You just didn't see that, and you just didn't expect something like that to occur. And then, you know, back then to be able to, Henson, as good as a recruiter as he was, and then Kruger, you know, but Illinois wasn't recruiting like they are now. I mean, you know, you look at that 89 team, and it was all Illinois guys, right? I mean, everyone on that roster was an Illinois guy, and obviously studs when you go down the list. But, you know, you weren't – I know there was on occasion a kid from Texas and stuff like that, but you weren't recruiting international. Of course, nobody was really back then. You weren't recruiting, you know, out of the East Coast like Chester Frazier is now. And so the idea that that group came along and you felt like they were yours, right? Like as an Illini fan, you felt like, okay, Frank, Marcus, Serge are they're our guys. They're our state of Illinois guys. They have to play at Illinois. And then they did, and you saw what happened. I mean, it elevated the program from where it was. Not that Henson, I mean, we love Lou and what he was able to do. But near the end, obviously, it was time for a change, and it was time to get the program back to a level that Lou had it, obviously, a few some years. So for them to be able to grab those three guys is just it'd be like asking somebody, okay, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, you won the NHL Stanley Cup 2 years ago, and then you won it again last year. Which one was your favorite? Or which one meant more? Which one in your mind meant more to the organization or organization, as they would say, the Canadians? I mean, was it the first one? Did that mean more to the Lightning? And then the second one was just, you know, icing on the cake? Or did the second one really solidify the facts? So now I look at this, and in my mind, I look at a guy, you know, those three that felt like they were my guys. I feel like high school basketball has changed as well. Right? I mean, let's be honest. The young man that you like that is on...
Monty Hansberry, yep.
I'm sorry. On St. Rita, who's not Brown.
Nojis.
Yeah, Nojis. He wasn't even playing for St. Rita last year. So I think that's changed a little bit to the fact of, for me at least, I can only speak to me, that I don't feel as though like these guys all played basketball together in fourth grade and came through... you know, PE together and played junior high basketball together. And now they're on the same high school varsity team. And, you know, so I think that takes away a little bit from it. And I'm sure I'm speaking too much now and I need to shut up, but I think it would be impactful. I just don't think anything will ever compare to what Serge, Marcus, and Frank and what they brought to Illinois basketball.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take, and I think the circumstances are different.
Was your answer that long on like...
No, it wasn't that long. No,
Trevor's eyes are like, whoa!
I honestly had to go back and do some research because I was 6 years old, I think, when Serge committed. Serge and Marcus both signed their letters of intent the last day of the signing period, and then Frank verbaled that same day. So they landed all three in the same day, and I know that you've brought up that it's been spoken about that Serge was leaning Indiana late.
Yes.
I was actually reading a Chicago Tribune article that Wayne McLean said it point blank that I thought he was going to go to Indiana. It seemed clear that that's where he was leaning. And that Serge and Marcus were going to be a package deal. So can you imagine that
no.
going the wrong way? And then maybe Frank follows them as well, or Frank decides to go somewhere different. It could be a whole lot different picture at Illinois basketball at a very pivotal moment. Yes. To your point, year one of Lon Kruger hasn't even coached a game at Illinois yet when he's pulling them in. Corey Bradford was a guy that was in that same class, so that was a good start, but then needed to really round that thing out and get some impact players of guys that won Big Ten titles. So they're different circumstances. I think there's more luster and
no doubt
and fanfare or even more recruiting drama around the fact that three guys announced on the same day.
It's incredible.
And Serge was leaning Indiana versus Merez is already on board, and we don't know how James and Nogis's recruitments could play out. Maybe you're down to with James Brown, it's Illinois, North Carolina, and you got to swing that thing. And there could be, I'm not going to put past, especially this age of recruit, there not being drama to the level of what there has been at any point in time. But on the same note, like three guys who are top 50 and all trending in a very positive direction. We could be talking, you know, a couple of months from now or at the end of their junior seasons, they're three top 40 players or pushing. Is there a chance they're top 30? That there would be a chance there to get all three from the same school in the same class, especially with what else Illinois should have on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
It's different to where then fans, I mean, that's, I'm not downplaying is that not being a big deal, because fans are then going to say, we're in our window to go back to a Final Four. Like, there's no reason we shouldn't.
Yep.
With those three, assuming that Jaden Epps is still here, Sky Clark could potentially still be here. Yep. And just the way the portal shifts and the way they've been recruiting at such a high level.
It's so funny. It almost appears like it's a form of laziness. Like, oh, well, Brad Underwood and the staff only recruited one high school. You know, I mean, I'm kidding here, but these are three top 50 guys. If I look back at Serge, Marcus, and Frank would have been a top 50. I don't know where I would have ranked Marcus or Serge, not top 50, not in the country. I mean, now, and that's nothing against those guys, but I don't know, maybe top 100, you know, Serge, maybe top 100, Marcus just outside of that. And of course, all three were wonderful players at Illinois, and they all had their own. Well, of course, Frank was the king there, but you know, Serge was a 4-year guy that helped. Marcus was a 2-year guy, I think, that, you know, just hit key shots and really helped your inside. And, you know, Frank, he's probably my favorite player. I mean, I love Frank Williams, but it is funny because it's almost a strangeness to it. If Illinois lands those three guys and they all played for the same team, I'd be like, well, that's just strange. But you have to individually look at each one of them and understand they each play a different spot. Nogis is your 2 guy, right? Shooter, kind of think Podziemski, but a lot better. Brown is your, I guess.
Maybe Stauskas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, ooh, yeah. You said that one day, and I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. Because he never missed a shot at Assembly Hall back in the day, so I'm assuming Nogis won't miss a shot ever at State Farm. And then, you know, Merez is, he reminds me kind of the Liberty, kind of, you know, is he 6'8"? Kind of, you know, athletic 6'8 guy. And then, you know, Brown, I haven't seen him, I haven't seen much of, but obviously a 5-star guy that is even like the kind of crown recruit, I guess, of those three, which is hard to believe. But yeah, I mean, I could see the weirdness to it, but man, would that be huge. And you talk about three guys coming in that know how to play together. That would be
no doubt.
I just think it'd be a cool story. I think it'd be one of those cool stories that, you know, you'd get if you are in a national championship game and you've got Jim Nance, bless his soul, if he's still doing it then, which he should be, you know, and they pipe in the PA like starting at guard. You know, you'd have three guys from the same school essentially, and I just think it'd be cool. It'd be really cool.
It really would be, and I think it would complete the bingo card in terms of Brad Underwood's staff here recently, where you've had Chester make the East Coast impact. You've had Tim be able to go into Michigan and get Ty Rogers, a guy I didn't mention that last rundown of who could still be there, and it would be a very focal part.
I can't wait to watch him.
Illinois in the future, absolutely. Sky Clark, a former 5-star you're able to get. You've seen the transfer portal additions. Jeff Alexander now tapping in internationally. Mm. And then you kind of start to hear we were talking about last year's roster not having too much of an Illinois flavor beyond DeMonte Williams.
Sure.
Sure, Brandon Lee, but he wasn't an impact guy. But then you're like, okay, we don't need the state of Illinois. And then you pair it with, oh, let's just take the the three top players from the state who are all top 50 guys nationally and pair that with what all we've been able to do. And then it would just be, assuming it would stay together. I mean, you're not going to have, knowing the roster turnover that you have each and every year, at least in terms of some guys leaving or some guys going to the draft.
Be incredible.
That would be one heck of a roster.
And Jaden Schutt's going to get tired of playing at Duke, and he's going to portal back.
I don't know why an Illinois fan should ever panic about a basketball offseason again.
You're right.
I mean, that's not fair. That's a blanket thing to say. But
you're right.
After the past two offseasons,
yep.
You know, I'm just making this up. Let's say, you know, four guys go pro, you know, the best case scenario for all of them. I'm not going to sit here and be like, uh-oh.
We're done.
I mean, what have we seen in the last 2 years that would lead me to think that this is now going to spiral out of control in a bad way?
That's a great call, Trevor. Know? It's a great call.
Fun conversation.
Yeah.
And this is what Illinois basketball does, and it's great in this area is we can just, middle of summer.
Anytime.
We can just bring it up and have a bunch of things to roll on. If four guys were to get drafted off this team for next year, who would they be?
Would be Shannon.
So I guess if you're ranking the top four draftable guys for next season on Illinois, I'm not saying there's going to be four. I mean, right now you look at Jonathan Givony
Coleman.
For ESPN. It's Coleman and Terrence Shannon Jr. I think the guys that are projected to be drafted.
I could see Matthew Meyer being that late second round pick. You know, a guy that's played five competitive seasons in college basketball.
He'll have two national titles under his belt.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh. If Illinois basketball ever wins a national title, I think I may sail off in the ship.
Your boat will have shipped.
Ship the boat. Lon's out of here.
Of course, I will come in and talk about it for a week, and then I'm like, I'm out.
What is that, like down the Mississippi River?
We just
drop
the
them
Embraul.
Off. We drop them off on the St. Louis Bridge or whatever. Bye, Lon.
We start at the Embraul down in VG and go.
Hopefully, the boat is not stuck out in the bay on a boat waiting to get arrived here to you in the United States.
Well, Lucas is going to work on that. You know that.
There you go.
That, what am I trying to say? Supply logistics. So, no, it just would be.
I think Coleman's the most obvious, right?
I do too.
Because he almost feels like one of those guys where this year our frustration with the lack of Kofi buzz, even though we understood it.
Yeah.
He's the guy who could average, you know, six and five, have an okay year starting, shoot 30%, and yet someone would still want to draft him in the second round. Almost the antithesis of the frustration that Kofi has been so good but won't get drafted.
You are so dead on with that.
Coleman could just have an okay year, and he'd still be projected to be 50.
Yeah, he'll get drafted. He'll be drafted next year. That's the amazing part, if he wants to come
out. That's almost a Lonte hot take right
there. It was. You see, we've switched. You're now giving.
He will be drafted.
No. He will be drafted, yeah. That is. Wow. Well, I'm you now.
I have to own that hot take?
Yeah.
All right.
And I think Trevor makes a good point, though.
Yeah.
I think that Drew Timmy will probably be in that same situation as Kofi, where Drew Timmy wins National Player of the Year or puts up crazy numbers like he's been putting up in the same realm as Kofi. He's out of eligibility, goes to the draft next year. Coleman doesn't have the same numbers, but he's more of what the NBA is looking for.
It's crazy.
And I guess Ty would be fourth, right? Who else did we say?
Well, it'd be Shannon.
Coleman. I mean, Clark, there's the ACLs, no problem, and he's 25 a game as a freshman in the Big Ten or something.
Mm.
Somebody's going to text in RJ Melendez.
Oh, and RJ, that's another guy.
It is funny how we went from RJ is like Johnny Davis 2.0 about 2 months ago to, and look, no fault of anyone's, a lot of stuff happened. Now no one's mentioning his name in any of these conversations.
Exactly. No, it's true. Just had somebody text in, Marcus Griffin was a McDonald's All-American. I mean, he was, I hope I didn't sound like he wasn't unbelievable, but, you know, he went, JUCO route, I believe.
Yep.
And then came to Illinois. So his like, production is, he wasn't here, in other words, right out of high school. So that's why I kind of downplayed it a little bit. But, yeah, Marcus was an unbelievable player. So, good stuff. You want to know who's starting for the Cardinals tonight? Do you care? I got the eye roll.
No, Trevor, I don't care.
Edmund at second, Lon. Carlson in center. Goldie at first, Arenado at third. Yepes, baby Albert, they call him. Two dingers last night. And right, Pujols, his dad, I guess, at DH next. Donovan in left. Sosa's in at short. I've forgotten all about him. And then Herrera, your catcher, batting ninth. Only the Cardinals employ a catcher hitting ninth every night. Only the Cardinals. We're going to hear from John Mozeliak. He had some great stuff to say about not only Jack Flaherty, but also some other trades, etc. You're going to hear all that next from Cardinals President of Operations, John Mozeliak. If that's his title, I'm out. I'm the President of Operations at SJ Broadcasting of The Drive with Tay and Piper.
I'm Damonte Williams. When it comes to hustling on the court, that's easy. You know what else is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care.
That's right, Damonte. When you need care for minor illnesses and injuries that's easy to get when and where you need it, OSF On-Call Urgent Care is your MVP. Walk in 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even holidays, or connect with a virtual visit 24/7, 365 days a year. Visit osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Long's Garage in Urbana and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer cost-effective solutions to your present engine or transmissions trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Long's Garage install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Long's Garage at 367-3942. Long's Garage, 217-367-3942.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Hey everyone, it's Steve and Marianne from Prairie Gardens. We've got a huge perennial sale that's going on now. Every perennial we have, thousands and thousands, are now 25 to 50% off.
And this isn't perennials that have been hanging around for a few months. This is fresh crops that we're getting in almost daily now, coming up.
So truckloads.
We'll just have a beautiful selection in flower.
25 to 50% off all perennials, Prairie Gardens.
If you're involved with IT and are looking for a change, look no further. Join the team at AreaWide. They've been in business for 23 years and they make their employees their top priority. And they offer a benefit package second to none. 100% health insurance for employees from Health Alliance, 100% vision, 100% dental, a 401k plan, company vehicles, monthly gas cards, paid vacation and sick leave, $100,000 life insurance for employees, a $500 vacation bonus. You can buy computer components and software at cost for personal use. You get your birthday off. You get birthday treats and an anniversary gift. Say what? A benefit package second to none from AreaWide. Are you kidding me? Apply today at info@areawidetech.com. That's info@areawidetech.com.
If you need to sell a home and buy another one, talk to Nate Evans of eXp Realty. His Coming Soon program can help you do both on your own timeline. Pre-market your current home with the Coming Soon program to create demand and get more money and have first access to great homes about to come on the market before anyone else.
Sell your home with Nate. Pick the price, pick the day. Go to thenateevansgroup.com.
When you order a doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1, schedule a delivery of their 6-cubic-yard doggy bag at a cost of only $35. Step 2, you fill the doggy bag. Anything other than electronics, appliances, or hazardous materials are accepted. Step 3, schedule a time for your doggy bag to be picked up. And that's it! The doggy bag is designed to hold up to 1 ton of material. So get a doggy bag with Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet, where it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Find out more at bulldoggybag.com.
CBJ Broadcasting's Law Enforcement Official of the Month, brought to you by Crossroads Contractor Supply.
Originally from Villa Grove, now serving Douglas County as a deputy sheriff, Courtney Lowe is our Law Enforcement Official of the Month. Why did you want to go in law enforcement? Why?
Well, actually, I come from a long line of law enforcement and in the family, so.
What do you want people to know about what you do?
I go out and protect. and serve. I'm certified in detecting people that are impaired, not only by alcohol, but under the influence of drugs as well. So when I go up to a car, you know, and just looking for hands, and I'm watching people's eyes, actions, you know, how they're talking, how they're acting.
Yeah, well, you're getting people that shouldn't be driving off the road, right? I mean,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you do in keeping us safe.
Thank you.
Courtney Lowe.
Specializing in tools and equipment delivered within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Visit CrossroadsContractorSupplyIL.com.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw, right here in Champaign-Urbana, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Kurt and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. It's easy to switch and save. Just give them a call when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey Illini fans, it's your girl Chiney Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Oh! Pipes, can you really quickly, I think that's all grammatically correct or wrong there, can you Google the July 5th Busch Stadium concert and tell me who's going to be in attendance at Busch Stadium? On July 5th.
Let's see.
Are you ready? This is going to blow your mind.
Is it the Scorps?
Is it?
Motley Crue and Def Leppard.
And Joan Jett. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise.
Hey, and Poison?
Poison? It's not the Scorps, right?
It says Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, Joan Jett.
My God, they just crafted it for Lon. Just like, who can we get to bring Lon down?
By order of the Peaky Blinders? Did you know that John Mozeliak graduated from Colorado? He played pitcher and first baseman in high school and played American Legion Baseball. And yesterday, as the president
playing
of baseball.
American Legion Baseball is in his bio?
It is.
Wow.
It is. Yesterday, the president of baseball operations, knowing all of that, spoke with the media about Jack Flaherty and more.
Well, you know, he's being evaluated today, so I think we'll have a better sense of what that looks like. But, you know, clearly it's a setback in terms of, we were excited to get him back. We were hopeful that he could ease his way back into the rotation. As you can imagine, you know, when you're pitching down in on a rehab, there's only so much you can do as far as, like, build up volume, but I think the intensity of what you see here is a lot different, and certainly I think affected his pitch counts early, and thus ended up putting a strain on his shoulder. So, you know, hopefully it's something that we still see him this year. I mean, we're pretty optimistic that will be the case based on what we're hearing, but clearly it's going to take some more time to get him back.
He says is this a different injury than the previous one?
Not really. It's you know. His shoulder right now is just feeling some stiffness, and you know, I think a lot of it is when you try to, again, like, replicate volume is one thing, but intensity is another, and I think putting that extra stress on what you're seeing to get through those innings has put a little more tension in that shoulder.
When you say optimistic, we'll see him this year, says it's going to be a lot. Do you have any idea, like, minimum what it could be if it's nothing serious? Do you have any idea about that?
Well, hopefully it's something where he can quiet it down, and then we're gonna have to, you know, build him back up. So right now we haven't determined what that timetable looks like.
Are there any second guesses from the organization point of view about not getting it taken care of in the offseason with some type of procedure?
No, not at all. I don't think anybody was recommending a procedure. So you know, I think if you're asking, like, what would you second guess would be, like, you know, could we have extended him longer on the rehab assignment? And, you know, that is always a possibility.
spoke for an organization that was so patient and deliberate about working Jack back through these first couple of months. What ultimately was the deciding factor in bringing him back after just two rehab starts?
Well, you know, a lot of it's based on the feedback you're getting from the athlete. And, you know, at that point, he was very optimistic of where he was. You know, internally, we debated that, but, you know, ultimately, it's not our decision. So, you know, we laid out a plan. Plan was deviated, and here we are.
When you say it's not your decision, then where does the decision fall on?
Well, where would you think?
So, I guess from your point of view, and I want to make it clear, this is not a blame.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. My explanation is that, you know, if you're looking at second guessing something, it could be the fact that, you know, we didn't stick to the original plan.
When you looked at what he was doing at his rehabs and even bullpen session, everyone said the ball was coming out well and he looked good. And then the games were something totally different. Why do you think that was when it was so drastic, at least in appearance and the way that even his arm angle was different from his
look,
rehab?
Look, I mean, I'm not a pitcher. I've never pitched in the big leagues, but I got to imagine that the, like, what you do in practice is hard to replicate in game. And, you know, I learned this a long time ago when you even think about, like, spring training and trying to ramp players up, it's hard to replicate game situations, and the speed of the game can change a lot of what you do. And I think in his particular case, he was having struggle, you know, commanding the pitches that he needed to. Pitch counts would all of a sudden rise rather quickly, and then I just think there was just immediate strain. And so here we are where, you know, physically now he's not able to go out there.
You just had this news. Do you guys have any plans for how you're going to cope with this? Rotation might be a while.
Well, I think, you know, one thing, the good news is you know, Matt's is going out on his rehab starting tomorrow. We know that's going to take some time. It's not just one and done. But, you know, we are hopeful that we can get him back at the worst case to start the second half of the season. But in the meantime, we'll just keep giving some of these younger guys a chance. But, you know, we obviously can't rule out anything potentially down the road as far as trades.
Yeah, so, John, in terms of, like, your offense is exceptional, your defense is exceptional, you run really well. If you get to the deadline and there's no person in this organization that stepped up and filled that kind of role, would it be a necessity to bring in a marquee pitcher?
Well, I don't want to get into semantics. You know, you need people that can eat innings. You know, last year, if you recall, like, the pitchers we brought in, I don't think would have met your criteria just then, but it worked. And so, like, you know, trying to determine what that looks like, I think, you know, internally upstairs, we'll look at what's possibly out there and, you know, what the acquisition costs look like for that. But, you know, I think, in the meantime, we need guys that can go right now and pitch and eat as many innings as possible.
Well, are the doctors confident that the same sort of plan, the rest, rehab, build up, can get him back to where he was?
I mean, we're hopeful. I haven't had an in-depth, like, breakdown on, you know, his situation yet, but, you know, based on initial findings, I think they're pretty optimistic.
What's the situation with Bader?
So Bader has been dealing with plantar fasciitis probably for the entire season. And he's just been trying to gut it out, play through it. But he got to a point where he just feels like it's really affecting his at-bats, his defense. And so, you know, long story short, he's going to, you know, go through some therapy here. Hopefully we can get him so he's pain-free. And then, you know, hopefully he'll be back contributing. But I do anticipate this being shorter rather than longer, but, you know, again, day one of this, so we'll see.
Is that a situation that he might have to have corrected in the offseason? Is the hope you can get him through this season and then
I haven't heard of anything like that at this point. There are some tools or some things that people can do when they experience this, and so I'm sure we'll exhaust those first.
Can you make a decision?
You're getting on Tyler. Is he close to maybe coming back? You know, if you're losing Bader, is Tyler a possibility?
Well, I like, that's the worst thing we can start doing is like just start rushing things because of need. You know, look, it's the one thing I could say about O'Neal is we'd like him to go down and have a rehab assignment. So hopefully that's something by the end of this weekend, perhaps, and then maybe see him back, you know, active by the time we return from this road trip. You know, and as we've done here a lot, like when things happen like this, someone else gets a new opportunity. And so Connor Capel will get that chance, and hopefully, you know, he can make the most of that.
What's the next step for Hicks?
Hicksie will throw tomorrow, so he'll follow Matt's at Memphis, and then he'll go do a back-to-back, so then pitch again on Wednesday.
If he...
Then we'll decide what's the next step.
Multiple innings for Hicks?
Going back-to-back, I imagine it's going to be 1-1. Mm-hmm.
Well, what goes into the decision for Capel over Burleson with the call-up?
Really, it's roster spot flexibility. At some point, we're going to get the people on the COVID back. And so, you know, having to run someone like Burleson through waivers could be tricky.
So the guys,
if not impossible.
The guys that you called up today, they will have to be subjected to waivers if they were to come off the 40.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly.